When you have an aqualung on and you're down at about 80-foot depth and you're trying to give your own air to somebody else to help them out, this is almost heroic in my book. Some of the people here, I think you may have seen this morning in some of the activities. I'd like to introduce them here. Here's the real brains and the power behind our household, my wife Annie, right here. Up, Annie. My daughter Lynn and son Dave, right next to her here. My mother and dad, who, as the president said this morning, started all this trouble a long time ago. And Annie's father and mother, Dr. and Mrs. Castor. I think scattered around up here in front are the other astronauts and their wives. I think you know most of them by sight. I'm afraid it would take too much time to introduce everyone individually. Why couldn't we have everyone stand all at one time here, all the rest of the families who are here? We have quite a contingent here.
The little ones, too.
Little ones, too, everybody, yeah. Right.
John, in getting started with the question period, I would like to ask, since we don't have mics out in the audience, would you please stand, identify yourself, and let us hear your question? Mr. Schutt.
Charles Schutt of Telenews. I'd like to know, Colonel Glenn, if you'd like to make another such trip, and if you know at this time whether other trips are planned for you.
Answer to the first question, obviously, yes. The answer to the second question, no. I have no knowledge of future flights. As I said before, this stuff is, you can become addicted to it rather rapidly.
Mr. Bergman?
Any man that flies as well as John Glenn will fly again.
I'm with you.
Mr. Bergman?
Colonel Glenn, based on your experience and ability to fly the capsule when the control problems developed, what changes are you going to recommend in the capsule's control for Deke Slayton's flight?
Everybody hear the question? The question was, in view of the difficulties we had in our attitude control system, what changes were John going to recommend in Deke Slayton's spacecraft?
Well, was that the question, the changes in the system itself, or changes in his ability, changes as a result of his ability to probably control it properly?
You're saying it's more accurate than I do.
All right.
Changes in the control system, and also how much more you think the man can do?
Well, before we make any positive statement like that as to exact recommendations for future flights, we need to do a lot more looking into records and data and get all the tapes back from the various stations around the network. And we have several weeks' work to do just sitting down and analyzing the data. I don't think I want to get in at this time to any statements as to I recommend this or that on the preliminary look that we've had at the information so far.
Camera 2, take 9.
New York Times. Colonel Quinn, what do the stars and the Earth look like from up there?
Well, stars, I was a little bit surprised. I think I maybe expected to see the stars in greater quantity and greater numbers than I had seen them before. The nearest thing I could compare it to, and did compare it to during debriefing, was if you've been out in the desert on a very clear, brilliant night when there's no moon up and the stars just seem to jump out at you, that's just about the way the stars looked. We get some light reduction because of the light having to come through the window of the capsule, of course. And apparently this reduction in light may almost approximate the losses that we normally get on a very clear night through the atmosphere. So I didn't feel that I could see any greater number of stars. They were not blinking. They came through very clear and straight shining light. There was no flickering on and off. But other than that, it looked very similar to looking at the sky on a very, very clear night in the desert.
Mr. Neal?
John, the
were a number of experiments you were not able to make because, of course, you were busy flying the spacecraft. Could you give us a general idea of some of those that you were not able to perform this time with a reflection here as to perhaps what we might expect for Deke Slayton trying?
Well, we wanted to make...
Question has to do with some of the experiments that we did not accomplish because John's attention and time and energies were devoted to controlling the spacecraft. What some of those experiments might have been, and would we do them in the future flight?
And were there very many, too?
Were there very many?
Camera 2, take 8.
Infrared pictures for the weather people. We'd want to take some ultraviolet pictures on around on the dark side. We had some eye checks with some small instruments that we wanted to make. There were several things of this nature. I was going to eat some more. Never got around to that after our difficulties started a little bit. What else did we have?
I'm not sure if eyepiece to look at.
Yes, this yellow air glow filter that would only pass yellow light, which is of interest to some of the weather people. That's about it.
Yes, sir, Mr. Whitkin here.
Colonel Glenn, when did you know that you had a possible emergency on your hands, and how concerned were you about it?
You know, the retro rocket?
The heat shield problem.
The heat shield, yes. Well, that
when
was
did you first know about that, and how worried were you at any time?
I don't recall the exact time that I knew about it. I knew about it for some time in advance of the retro sequence. I can't pin a time to it exactly. I didn't really contest this decision from the control center because I knew that the experts we had on the ground had certainly thought this thing out much more thoroughly than I could in flight to make the recommendation that they could make. I knew that there would not be any change of this magnitude made unless it had certainly been considered from every possible angle by many, many experts on the ground, all the people that designed the system and all the other experts that were in the control center. So while it was of some concern, of course, because it was a malfunction, we never have had a capsule re-enter with a retro pack on it before. Something untried like that, you look at it with a little bit askance maybe before you try it, of course. So there was some concern about it. I think the major concern, though, was when these chunks started breaking off during re-entry and I could see them going back by the capsule. This was a period where I wasn't sure whether it was a retro pack or whether it was a damaged heat shield beginning to break up. Obviously, it was a retro pack.
Right back here, sir. Yeah, glasses.
Colonel, you mentioned several times during the course of your flight some of the things you saw on Earth while you were up there. Is there anything now that stands out in your mind as the most spectacular or most interesting thing that you saw off the surface of the Earth?
The question was regarding what were the most spectacular things I could see. Well, number one, it's all very spectacular from up there. You can see a tremendous distance. You're up above the atmosphere. You see this little horizon band of very brilliant blue colors, even on the day side. It would be difficult to pin down any one thing as being more spectacular than others. Certainly one of the most beautiful things is to be on the dark side with a full moon out and see this coming off the clouds down below and then running over and seeing a very sharp demarcation line to where the stars keep coming down below the horizon. It's interesting to note that your sunsets and the stars moving down behind the horizon occur at approximately 18 times their normal speed. And this makes for pretty speedy sunsets. It's very rapid.
You mentioned in the debriefing, made some observations about how you could see the Earth's surface, being able to tell the difference between landmass
yes.
and so on.
You can see different patterns in the ocean current, like the Gulf Stream, for instance. You can see the changing colors there. You can see on the Earth, one area that was I could observe very clearly was the area northwest of El Paso. And that's an area where there's a lot of desert with a big irrigated area that comes down a valley northwest of El Paso. And that stood out very much. You can see the squares of the irrigated areas from this distance. I wouldn't guarantee that I was seeing the smallest irrigated squares that they have, each individual patch, but the larger irrigated squares that probably had major dikes around them could see these very clearly. Patterns like that, I think you may, patterns around a city where you think, well, now there's a bridge. You can see a little dot or a little spot, and you think, well, there's a bridge. I think you determine a lot of this by possibly the fact that you see a valley and a river, and you know that the at a town like that, if there's a spot there, it's probably a bridge across that river, so you say, well, that's a bridge. But you can't pick out things like a bridge or a railroad trestle or anything like that with any certainty from this type of distance, of course.
Yes, sir.
Why did you identify Colonel Glenn at El Central, California, and perhaps not a larger nearby city like San Diego?
I didn't see San Diego. I saw part of Imperial Valley. I could see the southern